Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, along with Matt Peck. Live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time on the Nothing But Net channel. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Well, Matt Peck held down the fort today in an interview with Ricky O'Donnell, so we're going to get right to that. Here's an interview with SB Nation's Ricky O'Donnell.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome to Locked On Bulls for the first time, Ricky O'Donnell. You know him. You read his stuff on SB Nation all the time. You can follow him on Twitter at SBN_Ricky, a guy who covers the Bulls, the NBA, and also an expert on college hoops and mock drafts. Ricky, what's going on, bud? How you doing?
I'm good, Matt. What's up?
Not a whole lot, man. I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, we're going to talk draft boards, Bulls draft strategy with the way the tank has been kind of going poorly recently. But before that, I want to get your thoughts on this Bulls-Warriors game from Wednesday night. Kind of bookended by two unfortunate and ugly injuries, one to Jordan Bell, Mr. $3.5 million, and then Chris Dunn, the awkward fall after his dunk late in the game when the Bulls were trying to make that fourth quarter comeback. The game itself, I mean, you have to be enthused and appreciative of the effort the Bulls put forth after getting trounced by 50 when they played the Warriors back in November. They actually won quarters 1, 2, and 4. It was just that ugly third quarter that doomed them. What was your biggest takeaway from that game against the Warriors Wednesday night?
Yeah, I was going to say, it just shows the strides the Bulls have made since that first game against the Warriors when they were absolutely blown out of the building. As you said, the third quarter was just a disaster for the Bulls, but I was really impressed with the way they fought back in the fourth. It got to the point where when Dunn got the steal where he was ultimately injured on, I think that cut the lead to like 5 with about 3 minutes left. I was kind of thinking that, you know, if that doesn't happen, maybe the Bulls win this game. Now, that's crazy, mostly because the Warriors are the most talented team in the league and one of the most talented teams ever, but that's how well the Bulls were playing. They finally got Mirotić going in the fourth. The threes were starting to fall a little bit when they, were cold earlier in the game. So you got to love how resilient the Bulls were. I thought Nwaba did an amazing job on Steph Curry. I thought that the Mirotić Markkanen front court pairing continues to be really intriguing in crunch time because it just gives you so much space. I think that's really beneficial for Dunn. LaVine, not his best game, but you can't really make too big of judgments off that. Still only his third game back. He's going to have some down nights. He was really good the first two games. So I thought that, you know, that game just showed that the Bulls have come a long way in the last month or two, and this really is a team that's fun to watch. I never thought I would say that about the Bulls this year, that I enjoy watching Chicago Bulls basketball, but the way Hoiberg's coaching, everyone's got the green light. They're just jacking threes, and the two wins before this against Miami and Detroit, they hit like 17 or 16 threes in both of those games at about a 47% clip. It's just wide open basketball. Everyone's got the green light, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it really was. And I mean, you mentioned Zach LaVine kind of had an off night. Somebody else, you know, one of the key three pieces for this Bulls rebuild, Chris Dunn, before that injury late in the fourth, he also kind of had an off night, particularly shooting from the field. I saw, you know, a tweet of yours while you were watching the game. You know, when Chris Dunn is bad, he's really bad. Obviously, finishing at the rim is still an issue. We have seen some improvements in his shooting game. We've heard that he's been working, you know, one-on-one with Fred about trying to fix his shooting stroke. And we have seen some glimpses of a better Chris Dunn as a shooter, but I feel like there was a stretch in that third quarter when the Bulls were really struggling to score where it was like 3 out of 4 times down the court, Chris Dunn just bricked a mid-range jumper, and it was like really hard to watch. The way you're watching Chris Dunn this season, do you still believe he can eventually become a reliable mid-range and deep-range shooter, adding that element to his game? Because the other things we're seeing from him are promising. It's finishing at the rim and becoming a more consistent shooter. But heck, I mean, Jimmy Butler was a terrible shooter when he came into the NBA.
Yeah, I feel like Chris Dunn is definitely the swing guy in this rebuild. Hoiberg said as Chris Dunn goes, the Bulls go. And to an extent, that's true. And I wonder if that's true for the long-term rebuild in general, because Dunn is obviously talented. He was a McDonald's All-American coming out of high school. He was the 5th pick in the NBA draft. And you can see, why he was identified at an early age just by the eye test, right? Like 6'4", really long arms, ball hawk defensively. He's quick, but he's someone who's just not someone who, the advanced stats just don't match the eye test with him, right? Like he's shooting 40, he has a 48% true shooting percentage, which is terrible. He can't finish at the rim. He can't get to the line. If he gets to the line, he can't make a free throw. He struggles with the three ball. If anything, the mid-range pull-up jumper has been his bread and butter thus far when he's had success with the Bulls, but we know that's like the least efficient shot on the court. So what Kristaps needs to do is get to the line and then make them when he can. I think that's the one obvious improvement in his game. And then you just hope the three-point percentage can go up a few ticks. And you hope he can, learn to finish at the rim. Like, he should be able to finish at the rim. He's so long. He's so coordinated. It seems like he gets to the rim and then, like, freaks out and just, like, throws the ball up there with no semblance of touch. I don't know if Chris Dunn is going to be the long-term point guard for the Bulls. Next time they're really good, he could be. I mean, you just look at defensively, his ability is unbelievable. I love watching Chris Dunn play. I think he's a really exciting player. But he has so much room for improvement right now, and he's already pretty good. So maybe that's a promising sign. Point guards in general, I think, take a little bit of time to develop. Dunn won't be 24 until later this season. Maybe by the time he's 26, 27, 28, the Bulls are going to have a good point guard. The question is, do you really want to wait that long, or do you want to try to look for another point guard in this draft, free agency, whatever it is?
Yeah, and we'll a little later on, we'll get to some of the point guard prospects that you have ranked inside the top 10 for your most recent mock draft, but talking about that point guard position and how we're unsure whether or not Chris Dunn could be that starting point guard of the future for the Bulls, something that might be a silver lining or good out of bad with this Chris Dunn injury, where we're now hearing that he has entered the NBA concussion protocol. He's out indefinitely. It seems like the most logical option, at least coming into Saturday's game, is that Jaren Grant will come back in and start at point guard. Maybe the Bulls also bring up Antonio Blakeney, who's been absolutely bawling his face off in the G League. But the other thing that's interesting to me, curious at least, is the potential for more minutes for Zach LaVine playing point. It's something that Hoiberg has kind of mentioned in passing as a possibility. We did see LaVine play little bits and pieces of point when he was in Minnesota, and it sounds like the Bulls are ready to ramp up that 20 minutes limit restriction that he's had for the first few games he's been back. What are your thoughts on LaVine potentially playing some minutes at point while Dunn is out?
I mean, why not? You might as well do it. I was at the Miami game, and I want to say LaVine had like 5 assists in that game. He was throwing some really nice pocket passes, I thought, throughout that game. But at the same time, the Timberwolves tried this with LaVine. Granted, that was when he was a rookie, so now in his fourth year, maybe it's a little different, but he's just not a natural point guard. He's not a great passer or facilitator. He's just more of an instant offense bucket getter. I think he's definitely more of a natural fit at the 2 than the 1. He always sort of reminded me of Jamal Crawford a bit, with like Russell Westbrook's athleticism. That was my comparison for LaVine when he was coming into the draft. He's just someone who's going to heat up in a hurry. He's not a great passer. He's obviously not a great defensive player. Maybe those are areas for improvement with him. With that being said, I don't really feel like I need to watch Jaren Grant dribble the ball aimlessly for 15 seconds on the shot clock anymore. So why not just go with LaVine? Like, you might as well try it. One of my things is just, like, put the best players on the floor and they figure it out. I mean, Mirotić can handle the ball quite a bit, too. The Bulls are already running, like, 4 or 5 dribble handoffs with Mirotić and Markkanen. So Yeah, just put your best players on the floor. I know wing and guard are really, those are their two sort of weak areas right now, but you might as well try it. I don't have high hopes for it, for Levine as a point guard.
While we're talking about this point guard position, I mean, it seems silly, but we've heard various reports that the Bulls are also interested in shopping Jaren Grant, at least gauging the interest, his potential trade value as we approach that February 8th trade deadline. And Casey Johnson of the Tribune mentioned that perhaps, you know, trying to find a trade partner for Jaren Grant might open up at least a little bit of a window to, you know, to give Fred Hoiberg a chance to see what, if anything, the Bulls have in campaign, whose option they did pick up for next season. I know Bulls fans are all rolling their eyes and laughing on the floor right now, myself included. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, like, other than, hey, let's get the tank back on track and give campaign a bunch of minutes so the Bulls lose. Like, is there any way that you can conceivably see campaign fitting into this Bulls team moving forward?
I mean, I don't know. He's a young player. He was a lottery pick. I personally think he's one of the worst NBA players I've seen just in the short time he's been in the league. But he's also battled a lot of injuries. He hasn't gotten a huge opportunity. Point guard's a position where you really, I mean, you just need to put the ball in their hands and let them go to work, which, you know, who knows? He is quick. He could maybe be better than we think he is. I might not sell on Grant. I don't love Grant at all. But at the same time, he's 25. He's got, you know, pretty good positional size. His shooting has just really fallen off this year, but he's a guy whose advanced stats are better than his eye test. He's got a really good assist percentage. So I don't know. I guess I would probably keep Grant long-term just because I don't think you're going to have to pay him a lot of money, even when this contract is up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about long-term, but you can always upgrade that position, back up point guard. But like, I don't think Grant's terrible. And as long as Dunn's the starter, I don't mind bringing Grant off the bench for, you know, 15 minutes a game or whatever it is. With that being said, you know, while Dunn's out, and the Bulls should be cautious, head injuries are, you know, nothing to mess around with.
Right.
I would like to see campaign get a chance. I mean, they have nothing to lose at this point. And if anything, Dunn's injury should rev back up the tank, and maybe giving campaign some minutes will, you know, lead to a few more losses. So I would like to see campaign get an opportunity. The Bulls have nothing to lose. This whole season, they have nothing to lose, really. So they might as well.
And that brings me to my next question is, where do you lie in this scenario where the Bulls find themselves right now? Some fans are watching these young Bulls kind of overachieve in December and into January after that 3-20 start. And some people are loving it and saying, you know, the fact that Dunn and Markkanen and now Levine are leading Bulls to wins means that actually they, you know, the Bulls won the Jimmy Butler trade. Sure, Minnesota won it too, but this Jimmy Butler trade is looking better and better. And if the young pieces we got in return are the reason that the tank is kind of getting screwed up, then that's kind of a good problem to have. It's good news, bad news. With the second half of this season looking ahead of us, would you rather the Bulls lose a bunch of games and kind of get this tank back on track, try to give themselves the best opportunity for a top five, top three pick? They're still only four games back at the worst record in the league right now. Or would you not mind if actually with this new trio of Dunn, Markkanen, and Levine, we see the Bulls string together some more wins, and, you know, if they end up somewhere in the, you know, in the back end of the lottery, so be it.
So it all comes down to what you're going to do with Mirotić. Since
right.
Mirotić returned, the Bulls are 13-7. If you, that's 65% winning percentage. Over the course of the season, that's a 53-win team. Now, granted, they have been winning a lot of close games during that stretch. I don't think that's sustainable, most likely. But that's the real question that the Bulls have on their hands right now. Like, do you want to keep Mirotić at the risk of having the 10th or 11th or 12th pick or the 9th pick in this draft? Or if you lose him, now you have another position that needs to be filled long-term. And how much are you really moving up? Are you moving up 5? Are you moving up 4? Are you moving up 6? Is that, you know, 3, 4, 5 spot jump in the draft really worth losing another core piece who does seem to fit well with everyone else in Mirotić? They've been closed in every game basically with Mirotić and Markkanen, unless there's a bruising center and then they close with Lopez. The more I watch of Mirotić, the more I want the Bulls to keep him. He's only 26 years old. I think that, you know, he was always talented, and this is sort of the role he's always needed to play. He has the ball in his hands more often. He's not relegated to a spot-up shooter. Finally, they've empowered Nikola Mirotić after 5 years of me riding it, it feels like, at least 2 years. And we've seen just how devastatingly good he's been. So that's the real question for the Bulls. Like, is it worth it to trade Mirotić to move up a few spots in the draft? You know, let's say that you keep Mirotić. Now, of course, Mirotić has to want to stay. Like, we've heard that he's demanded a trade. He got punched in the face, and the Bulls did not condone the face punching, really. Everyone was right. Team Portis. We don't know what Mirotić said to him. Is the wild card in that equation, right? But, I mean, it is. He must have said something really bad because it's pretty strange. He got punched in the face and the whole team took Portis aside.
Right.
So I don't really know if Mirotić is going to be here long term. But, you know, with Mirotić back in the lineup, they're 12th in offensive rating in the league and they're 16th in defensive rating in the league. So they've just been playing good ball since he got back. So, like, all right, let's say they trade him. And then you move up to 7. Well, now you're probably going to use that pick, let's say. Ideally, I really like Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State. So now you're basically just replacing Mirotić with, you know, a guy who could – not that Jackson is, like, similar to Mirotić. They both do have an outside shot. I think Jackson is better defensively. Mirotić is a better ball handler and just better offensive creator. But then, you know, you're just sort of filling that spot by trading. Whereas if you keep Mirotić and he is part of the long-term plan, then maybe you draft a wing like Mikal Bridges – from Villanova, maybe Miles Bridges from Michigan State. And now you have another position filled in the rebuild. So it's tough for me. I kind of want to keep Mirotić, but, you know, at the same time, this hot play of Mirotić will possibly fall off. They would likely be trading him at his peak value if they could get a good return for him. That's a big question facing the franchise right now. And I mean, I don't know. You could really argue it either way.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Do you think that the Bulls front office is capable of executing a deal where they do, in fact, get that first round pick for Nico? You know, obviously, the teams that they've been talking to, at least reportedly, Utah, Portland, Detroit, it seems, yeah, I would be surprised if they managed to get a first round pick from those teams. You know, and you know, Utah projects to be a lottery team right now without protections on them. You know, I would be very impressed if the Bulls front office is able to pull off a deal like that. I mean, would you take that deal if the Bulls could get Nico Mirotić? You know, maybe take on an expiring contract, maybe take on a middling contract that has one more year on it. They're still very much so under the cap. If we could get a mid to late first rounder for Nico, I mean, it sounds like maybe you would rather just keep a 26-year-old Nico on board for this rebuild moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a really tough question. Like, you know, if you get the 16th or 17th pick, like, I mean, maybe you do it and take one of these young freshman wings who hasn't been that good at the college level, but has high upside, like Hamidou Diallo or Lonnie Walker, you know, one of those guys, Troy Brown. But I don't know. It's a tough question. And it really exposes the fact that, you know, people like me and you can, like, sit on Twitter all day and look at hindsight and see how easy this is. But, like, shit, if I was making this decision, I wouldn't really know what to do. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you can get the 17th or 18th pick from Mirotić, I mean, maybe you pull the trigger, but you can also argue it where, you know, that guy, whoever you're going to get, won't be as good as Mirotić. And so, I don't know. It's a tough situation. I do think the most likely scenario, given that I doubt Mirotić wants to be here long-term, is that the Bulls trade him. If they could get a pick in the top 20 for him, that would be wonderful. Hopefully they can just hit on a high upside guy. Obviously the majority of the roster is still pretty young, but the Bulls are going to take a big step back if they trade Mirotić because he's been their best player. He almost doesn't even play enough for Hoiberg, I feel like. It doesn't really matter that he doesn't start, but he's been closing. I just feel like he needs to play more. He's their best player. So the Bulls are going to lose a lot if they trade him, I think. It's going to be, you know, they're 3-20 before he came back. We're going to go back to those days. Then you just wonder, you know, how that affects Chris Dunn's development if you don't have another shooter in the front court, how that affects everything about the rebuild, you know, when they're ready to contend, what's the timeline then if they trade Mirotić? Right. So I don't know. Big question.
Well, we're talking with Ricky O'Donnell. Follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky. Get all of his NBA Bulls and college hoops coverage at SBNation.com. Let's shift now to talk a little bit about some of these prospects we have coming up in the 2018 draft. Obviously, when the Bulls were 3-20, we were talking about, all right, well, who do we want? Do we want Marvin Bagley? Do we want DeAndre Ayton? Do we want the international superstar Luka Doncic? In your most recent board, you have Mo Bamba, the big man from Texas, making a big leap all the way to number 2. You have obviously Trae Young of Oklahoma, who has been lighting the Big 12 and NCAA basketball on fire in recent weeks. He did have a rough game against Kansas State in Oklahoma's loss to Kansas State just earlier this week on Tuesday with 12 turnovers and a rough shooting night. But, you know, that'll happen. Trae Young leapfrogging Colin Sexton on your board. You know, say the Bulls end up somewhere in that range of 7 through 10. If it is, you know, obviously Luka Doncic goes somewhere top three, you know, Bagley, Ayton, Bamba all off the board. Somebody takes a chance on the injured Michael Porter before the Bulls turn to pick. I mean, if Trae Young and Colin Sexton are somehow both on the board where the Bulls pick somewhere 5 through 10, which one do you like more? Which one do you think has a higher NBA ceiling?
I probably wouldn't. I mean, see, that's the question. It's like it all comes back to Dunn. Like, can these guys play alongside Dunn? I mean, theoretically, if you draft Trae Young, Dunn could guard the better defense or the better offensive player on defense, and Trae Young could just kind of freelance and jack shots. Trae Young is such a small margin for error because he's such an average athlete. He's small, but his skill level is just through the roof. I've really become a believer in Trae Young. But then, you know, you watch him just get shut down by West Virginia. You watch him get shut down by Kansas State. And, you know, he's not going to be able to ever win on physical tools. Obviously, he's always going to have such a high degree of difficulty in his success in the game. So I don't know, like, the guys I like for the Bulls, I would take Doncic if they get the first pick. I feel pretty comfortable in that. And then the rest of these guys at the top, Bagley, he's got some flaws. I mean, granted, Bagley could end up being a great player, but he doesn't really block shots. He doesn't shoot threes. Is he a four or a five? He doesn't really have the length to be a five, but teams don't really like playing traditional fours now if he's not going to be able to shoot threes. Ayton is a freak, but he doesn't block shots at all. He doesn't read the game at all. Mamba has a skill level of like an eighth grader on offense.
Yeah.
He has high upside, though. I mean, who knows what he's going to be when he's 23, 24, 25. I really like Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State. That's who I pegged the Bulls taking in my latest mock draft. I would take Jaren Jackson if they could, because I think he gives you the best combination of shot blocking, shooting. He reminds me of Miles Turner, but he's faster. Miles Turner is a pretty damn good player. And I think that would be a really solid front court with him and Markkanen, because you'd have a defensive complement to Markkanen, but you would maintain the spacing that the Bulls have with Mirotić and Markkanen. So I like Jaren Jackson Jr. That's my boy. And then I really like Mikal Bridges from Villanova, who's a straight 3-and-D wing. He's, you know, you got to know what he is. He's not going to be someone who's going to be running pick and rolls. He's not going to really be an offensive creator. But, like, look at how good Nwaba is.
Mm-hmm.
Nwaba's a 6'4 small forward. Part of the reason Nwaba's so good is because of his length. And, you know, he has a 7-foot wingspan. Mikal Bridges from Villanova also has a 7-foot wingspan. He's 6'7. He's just like a bigger Nwaba who can shoot threes. Nwaba can't shoot to save his life. Mikal Bridges has become a knockdown shooter this year for Villanova. And I just think that, you know, a really, really good 3-and-D guy, even though he's a senior, you know, he spent 4 years in college, he redshirted as a freshman, but those guys are valuable in the NBA. I mean, just look around the league. How valuable are really good 3-and-D guys? So even though Mikal Bridges, I don't think like he'll be a superstar. I don't think he'll be an all-star even. I wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger on him because this team needs wings. That's their biggest weakness. And if they're like 7-8, you know, I would take him over Colin Sexton, I think.
Wow. Okay. And then another wing that's intriguing to me is this kid Kevin Knox from Kentucky. Kind of an inconsistent thus far this season as far as his three-point shooting. But I see a lot of potential there. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I wrote the first big feature on Kevin Knox of his career when I was covering AAU a couple of years ago. And, you know, you just see that kid and you're like, who's this guy? He's just so big and long and athletic. He just looks like an NBA player, right?
Yeah.
With that being said, I wonder if he's, again, another eye test guy more so than an advanced stats guy. His three ball's really fallen off lately in SEC play. Now, maybe he gets it cooking again. But he's talented. He's someone who at Kentucky, like, he should be playing the four, but he's playing the three instead. If he was playing the four, he'd be a lot more dynamic. But for the Bulls, if he's playing the four, then Markkanen's your five. Like, I don't really know if he's a true wing, whereas I think Mikal Bridges is a true wing. The guy I kind of like, throw another name out here, and I do like Kevin Knox. I mean, Knox has some shot-making potential. Like, you can sort of see some Jason Tatum vibes in Knox, but Tatum's just skill level was so much higher in terms of his footwork, in terms of knowing how to get to his spots on the floor. I kind of like Lonnie Walker from Miami, who's a freshman. He had been kind of bad lately, but then he crushed Clemson and crushed Duke. He had 5 threes against Duke. He's 6'4", two guard with super long arms, really good athletic body. I think he's going to be able to shoot. He's got a compact shooting stroke. He's another guy who, like, if you take Lonnie Walker, that's like a future bet, right? Like, Lonnie Walker's going to take 2, 3, maybe even 4 years to reach his peak because, you know, you got to remember these guys were in high school only a year ago. But I think, you know, if they're picking, like, if they could get Lonnie Walker with the Mirotić pick, that would just be an ideal scenario, I think. Like, I do like Lonnie Walker for long-term upside. So just to throw another wing out there.
He's the one who had a torn meniscus earlier this season, right?
That's true, yeah. So he's still recovering from that. But then, you know, now that I think about it, do him and Levine really complement each other? Can you play those guys at the same time with Chris Dunn? I mean, maybe you can. The way the league has trended, a little smaller, Walker would really have to, you know, man up defensively to make that pairing work. So I don't know. That's just another guy. Like, Knox is intriguing too, though. I mean, there's a lot of intriguing wings here. Troy Brown from Oregon is another guy who could be pretty good. So it'll be interesting.
And I mean, as long as we're talking about guys who, you know, if it's not a point guard, if the Bulls are trying to figure out who they can pair with Chris Dunn, if it's you know, all of those bigs are off the board where the Bulls end up picking. Something that's been really, you know, piquing my curiosity recently is where exactly Michael Porter is going to fall in this draft. Like, you know, he's still going to be a lottery pick somewhere, but you wonder, you know, which teams will be scared off by the fact that he looks like he's going to miss his entire one and done year at Mizzou with this injury. You know, the more we're seeing from Markelle Fultz and what's going on with him in his first year in Philadelphia, and the fact that it looks like now Boston was very smart to take Jason Tatum instead. I mean, say Michael Porter Jr. slides a little bit and he's on the board. I mean, he's kind of a combo forward. Would you be interested in the Bulls taking a risk on him? How do you think he would pair well with Markkanen and some of those other front court pieces the Bulls have? And how far do you see him potentially sliding down this draft board?
Well, I'm not a doctor. So I think the big question with him is going to be just medically, does he check out? Like, those back injuries are scary. Yeah. I read something that the back injury he has now, I don't want this to be quoted if a lot of people are listening to this, but I read something that it's like 20% of those injuries have a chance to become chronic when you suffer them at such an early age. So just back injuries in general for basketball players, you can go through the history of the sport. If you're, you know, 6'10", like Michael Porter is, if you're a big man, back injury is scary, man. So that is something that, you know, the doctors are going to have to check out. Now, I've seen Michael Porter play probably more than anyone just from covering, you know, recruiting in AAU the last couple of years at my job at SB Nation. He always played in Nike's EYBL League. He was actually Trae Young's teammate. And never in a million years I think Trae Young would have a chance to get drafted ahead of Michael Porter Jr. Like, I didn't think Trae Young was an NBA player. Mm-hmm. Watching back then, it just shows how, you know, how quickly things change when in AAU you're going by the eye test, and in college you really have, you know, more stats to look at. But to me, Porter was always going to be a really, really good NBA player. he's sort of just in that Paul George mold, I feel like, but George more of a 2-3, where Porter's more of a 3-4. I don't know if Porter's going to be that good defensively. So this isn't a great comparison because Porter's not going to be that good defensively. He's not as quick laterally as George, but just right. Offensively, he's sort of a three-level scorer. He's just that type of oversized big wing that every team wants in the league that you can just sort of like move around the chessboard, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Porter, he has some serious questions, though. Like, how's his handle? Where's his three-point shot going to be? With that being said, he's just so naturally talented. Like, he was the best player at USA basketball camp with all these kids there every year. He was the best player in the UIBL every year. Right. He surpassed Ayton in the recruiting rankings just based on the work he was putting in. We've seen how unbelievable Ayton is. Imagine Ayton, you know, against high school kids when you're not really focusing on his shot blocking and his warts. Like, you just look at Ayton, he's like, he's absolutely unbelievable. So I really like Porter. I would take Porter if he checks out medically. If you're the Bulls, like, they need that sort of that type of player as it is. How about his brother? Jonte is unreal. Yeah. I would take Jonte too if they could get, with that Mirotić pick, they get like 20 or whatever, a 20th pick for Mirotić. I'd take Jonte Porter too. Jonte's really talented. Well, so Mike Porter in general, he's high risk, high reward. But I've seen him play. He's really good. I'd roll the dice on him if he's healthy.
Speaking of rolling the dice, before I let you get out of here, Ricky, final question. As we get into the, you know, meat and potatoes part of the college basketball season, who are you going to be looking at to say this is a kid who might surprise people and jump up these NBA draft boards as we get closer to the 2018 draft? Obviously, you know, in your most recent mock draft, it was Trae Young with his insane leading all NCAA scores and assist leaders, and then also Mo Bamba, the big man from Texas, making big leaps. Who hasn't made that big leap up a draft board yet, who you might be keeping an eye on to say this kid could come out of nowhere and all of a sudden turn himself into a lottery pick?
All right, here's one of my weird draft takes this year. I think that this might be the year that college veterans who were not on draft boards 12 months ago, or at the beginning of the season, I should say, start to jump some of these McDonald's All-American freshmen who just haven't been that good yet. Mm-hmm. But Troy Brown, Lonnie Walker, Kevin Knox, they just don't look great so far. But a guy like Khyree Thomas, who's a senior on Creighton, he's a tenacious defender. He's turned into a good three-point shooter. I think he's really intriguing. LeGerald Vick from Kansas is a junior. He's going to have character issues for sure. You can do some Googling on LeGerald Vick to see his issues. But as a player, he's really good. He's 6'5". He's skinny, but he shoots the lights out. He can handle a little bit. I kind of like LeGerald Vick as well. And then you could go down the list. Jacob Evans from Cincinnati is interesting. Shake Milton, 6'6 point guard from SMU, shot over 40% every year of his career. He's intriguing too. So I think that this could be the year that these veteran, Javon Carter, senior guard from West Virginia, reminds me a lot of Patrick Beverly. I think this could be the year some of these seniors, maybe, or upperclassmen in college, sort of jump the freshmen, because what we've seen in the league in general is I think the NBA has just become more homogenous in terms of how every team is playing. Mm-hmm. There really are like archetypes that you need to fit into nowadays, more so than just like at the high school level, you're mostly just looking at the eye test for like, you know, how big and quick you are. But like now someone like Khyree Thomas on Creighton, he really projects as a good 3-and-D 2 guard. So like, do you really want to take, you know, an upside bet like Troy Brown or like Lonnie Walker over him? Like Khyree Thomas, he's going to fit a role in the NBA right away. I think the same thing about LeGerald Vick. I think the same thing about Javon Carter. So, you know, Aaron Holiday, point guard from UCLA. I like the Holiday family in general. Give me all the Holidays. It's a solid basketball family. They should get 3 NBA players.
So you don't want the Bulls to shop Justin at the deadline is what you're saying?
No, I'd shop Justin for sure. I mean, they might as well get rid of him. They're tanking as it is. But then I'll take Aaron Holiday in the second round. Give me another Holiday next year. So I just think that, you know, this could be the year that Chandler Hutchison was the other guy I wanted to name for Boise State. He's like a 6'8 slasher who's learned to shoot this year. He had 44 points in his last game against San Diego State. Watch him on Boise State. He's pretty fun. So I'm just saying that this could be the year that, you know, the seniors sort of take over, or the upperclassmen take over from these raw freshmen.
All right. Well, Bulls fans out there, take that with a grain of salt. Some of you will be rolling your eyes saying, yeah, Denzel Valentine was a senior that we took in the middle of the first round. How's that working out so far? Denzel Valentine. we'll see. He's got some good games, some bad games. Right. I think, you know, he was definitely one of those picks where all Bulls fans were like, eh, you know, didn't really excite anybody. Everybody's all so excited about those one and done kids, just, you know, expecting that they're going to come into the league and all of a sudden be game changers at age 19 or 20. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, did we think that Lauri Markkanen would look this good halfway through his rookie season? I mean, no. I'm loving it. I can't wait to see what Markkanen does the back half of the season.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
All right, Ricky. Well, we'll let you get out of here. We appreciate the time. He's Ricky O'Donnell. You can get all of his Bulls, NBA, college hoops, mock draft coverage on SBNation.com. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great Twitter follow at @SBN_Ricky. Ricky, thanks for chatting some Bulls with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We want to give a special thank you to Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation for joining us today. You can follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter @LockedOnBulls, @JordanCMalley, and @Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time on the Nothing But Net channel. Remember, you can find all of our shows on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts. We had a crazy week this week. Make sure, if you missed it, our interview with Danny Parkins on Thursday, as well as a ton of other content from this week's episodes. You can follow us there on social media and subscribe to the show anywhere you like getting podcasts. For Jordan and Matt, we'll be back next week. Hopefully you have a safe and great weekend. We are out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.